As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for him.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Rooted Heritage.
Sometimes in order to know where we're going, we need to look back to the founding principles of an organization. Sometimes a company needs to get back to the basics, and sometimes churches need to get back and remember, why do we exist? What's it all about? Certainly, countries and governments need to take a moment as they chart the course for the future and go back and say, what were the pillars upon which this place was founded in the very first place? Now, in order to get a context of our message this morning, I want you to take a moment and think with me about Old Testament history, about Israel, and about what God was doing with this country, because he wanted them to look back to their founding heritage in order that they might go where they were supposed to go. And when you read Jeremiah chapter 17, you're reading about a time in Israel's history when they were what was known as a divided kingdom. They had the northern and the southern kingdom. By 721 BC, this northern kingdom had been attacked by the Assyrians and had been destroyed. And so Jeremiah is prophesying to what is called the southern kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah began his ministry in the 13th year of the rule of Josiah. And Josiah's reign was a good reign, and yet the people were not following the ways of God. They turned away from the Lord. And so during the days of Manasseh, Jeremiah began really with earnestness, crying out, literally with tears, to Judah, calling them back to God. His messages were against their sin. His messages were for God. And these messages were given just a few years before Judah would be carried away into Babylon. By 586 BC, they were completely carried away into a pagan land. They were made slaves there. And we believe, as we study the Bible, it is because they had turned their back on the Lord that they suffered such slavery. In chapter 17 of Jeremiah, we find that the primary sin of Judah was really idolatry. They had been raising up what the Bible calls groves in high places. These were high-standing elements where gods were placed atop and where they began to worship these gods made with hands instead of the creator God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had forsaken God for idolatry. Essentially, their faith had been uprooted because they had turned to the idols around them instead of the God above them. Our series currently is simply entitled Rooted for Growth. And there is no question that none of us are going to grow as we should if we are allowing the influence of false gods to persuade us and to influence our lives. And so it was with Judah. The more they paid attention to polytheism, the more they paid attention to pluralism, the further away from Jesus, the further away rather from God in the sense of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob they became. They forsook the promises of Jesus and of Messiah. This morning, we see three distinct aspects of Judah's situation that I believe really parallel the certain days in which we're living, or the uncertain days in which we're living. And I want you to see in verse number one the problem in Judah. And I want you to notice as the problem is given, it's very interesting how the Holy Spirit writes. He says, what's the next word? Sin. What was their problem? Sin. and the root of sin is pride. And so the prophet starts off in verse 1 with the sin of Judah is written with a pin of iron and with the point of a diamond. Now their sin can be simply stated in this way. They had turned from the Lord. They had turned completely away from the Lord. And the problem in Judah was that they had made this turning away from the Lord. And in verse number 1, it says that this sin was written with a pin of iron and the point of a diamond. Now, if you've ever taken a diamond, maybe you ladies have somehow taken a diamond and just brushed it across maybe some glass, or maybe you've seen it at a jewelry store, all the scratches. This emphasis on the diamond is saying that this is a permanent matter that God has made record and that he has made record and that their sin has been written with the point of a diamond. Now, specifically, what was their sin? Notice, if you would, back in chapter 16, just to get a little more clarity on this sin. Jeremiah 16, 18 says, "And first will I recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land, they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things." They were offering sacrifices to false gods. They were filling the land with carcasses that had been sacrificed to false gods. Verse 19 says, "O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods?" So they were making gods unto themselves. They were following after false gods. In fact, verse 2 says, "Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills." They were worshiping pagan gods. They turned from the Lord. But notice, secondly, they not only had turned from the Lord, but they had turned from their heritage. They had turned away from their heritage. Now, one of the fundamental truths I want you to see this morning is that when a nation turns away from God, they're turning away from the blessings of God. We have so many politicians today who want to endorse wickedness and who want to legislate sin and anarchy. And we see them time and again, and everything about them is anti-God. They're against God's family. They're against God's word. They ridicule the Bible. They ridicule Christianity. But then they come to political gatherings and they say, "God bless America." They invoke the name of God as they just kind of mix it in with their vernacular. But the fact is, you can't violate God's word. You can't ridicule God and then expect him to bless you in the next breath. And so they were turning from the Lord, but what Jeremiah is telling them is, hey, you're not only turning from the Lord, you're about to lose your inheritance, because all the good stuff you've had, that came from God. And the more you thumb your nose at God, the less you can say, "God bless America." The fact of the matter is they go hand in hand, honoring God and being blessed by God. So notice what it says in verse 4. It says, "And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage." They're not going to be rooted in this heritage. They're not going to have claim to the promises of God anymore. The word discontinue is the Hebrew word shamat. It means to be released or to drop deliberately. God says, "I'm going to drop you like a hot potato from your inheritance." Now, I don't know about you. I don't think I'm in anyone's inheritance, but if I was, I wouldn't want to be dropped from it, right? What if I was about to inherit like $1 million of In-N-Out burgers or something, you know? I mean, if you had that coming. Now, primarily, fundamentally, the inheritance of the Jews was the land. And sometimes when we talk about our position as a nation, the Bible says in Genesis 12, "I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee." And the part of the Abrahamic covenant was that God gave to Israel the land. And so we've always believed as Christians in this Judeo-Christian ethic that we should honor God's promise to Israel concerning the land. But even God's telling them right here, if you go after the wrong gods, you're going to lose your heritage, a part of which is the land, your possessions, your prosperity. And they would lose the blessing. So the problem at Judah, they had turned from the Lord, they were losing their heritage. And the problem in America is that as we turn from God, and as we have leaders who call themselves Christians but hold hands with every other faith, and who literally entertain in the state house and in the White House men who hate God and who defile marriage, and yet at the same time say they love God, God says, "Hey, you got a problem here. You're turning from me but still wanting my heritage." It doesn't work that way. You're turning away from what my Bible says and then wanting me to bless you. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of people, in order to justify this this radical change that's come into America. They try to say things to our children, and in the public schools in particular, things like, hey, it wasn't really all about Christianity, and you know, this is a place for everybody, and it is, and we thank the Lord for that. But almost to the idea that in the founding of America, it wasn't really so Christian. It was just kind of a bunch of guys that wanted to make money. And let me say, our founders were sinners just like we are sinners, but to identify them as a majority as being non-Christian is absolutely revisionist history. And I think we need to recognize, in fact, sometimes I've heard them say, well, they were just deists, you know, they didn't really believe in Jesus and the deity of Jesus Christ and so forth. But when you study the facts, 52 out of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Orthodox believers in Jesus Christ. And that's why when you read a lot of our founding documents, whether the Declaration, whether you read the walls in D.C., you're going to find inscriptions speaking about our Creator, speaking about Christ, speaking about the blessings that come from above. The truth is that our founders had a heart for the Lord. They wanted God's blessing. They didn't want the anger of God. They were in war after war. They needed help in the Revolutionary War. They needed help to have peace during the Civil War. We trusted in God during World War I and World War II. Prayers were made in Congress that God would bless America. As early as 1636, Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island, who was also a Baptist minister, was a man who founded that state in order that they might in that colony worship freely. A few years later, in Connecticut, there was a Connecticut Constitution that was written, and the framework was written out, and the words said, "We do therefore associate ourselves as on public state or commonwealth, and do for ourselves and our successors enter into combination and federation together to maintain and preserve liberty and the purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now profess." George Washington, our first president, in his diary wrote, quote, "Let my heart, gracious God, be so affected with your glory and majesty that I will make fulfill these weighty duties which you have required of me. I have called upon you to pardon me and to forgive me of my sins. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered on the cross for me. You gave your son to die for me and have given me the assurance of salvation." Washington later prayed that God would teach us to love justice, mercy, and humility according to the divine author of our blessed religion. Grant our supplications, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Patrick Henry wrote these words, "It cannot be stated too strongly or too loudly that America was founded by Christians with faith in Jesus Christ." John Quincy Adams, "The highest glory of the American Revolution is that we joined together government with the principles of New Testament Christianity." John Jay, the first justice of the United States Supreme Court, wrote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and in the interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christian for their rulers." In this day of tolerance, in this day of political correctness, no one denies that America has opened its arms to everyone, and let them come, but let us never deny that America was founded by Christians with Christian principles for the purpose of honoring God. The problem in Judah was that they had turned their back on the Lord, and they were about to lose the land. And I want to tell you, my friends, if we think we're so high and mighty in America, if we think all the blessings come from our intellect and our military might and all of this, I've got to tell you what, we are mistaken.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.